chapter 4, 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 7. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to him, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. I just have a couple more passages here. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then in 18 through 23, we'll go to that actually in a second. I want to skip down to Malachi chapter 3. Thank you, those that are running the scriptures back there. In Matthew chapter 13, 18 through 23, Jesus explains the parable that I just read to you, and we'll go to that throughout the message this morning. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." And then the rest of that I will go to in just a moment. Can we just pray over the word this morning? Lord, we love you. We worship you. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear this morning. And like Pastor Robert said, not just hear the word, but be doers of your word, to apply it to our lives, God. For we want to have growth, spiritual growth, Lord. And we want to go to the next level, deeper in prayer, deeper in fasting, deeper in giving to you, God, communion and consecration to you, Jesus. For we know that there's a harvest that we can't even begin to understand, Lord. And we want to be ready to hold in that harvest and take care of that harvest, Lord God. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. As I was studying for this sermon, God just brought it very clear to me what we're going to talk about today. Not really a sermon, but a class. I am so used to hearing my husband preach everywhere we go. Okay, I just want to talk about this because these scriptures, Andrew told me, I said, "Andrew, I'm so nervous, what do I do?" He said, "Well, you don't study for a class or a sermon." He said, "You just have devotion with God and he'll give it to you." So I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to go in there and read my Bible plan. Because I'm trying to read the Bible through the year. You know, those of you that like to read the Bible in a year. And I'm in Genesis. And I'm just reading Genesis. And you know how you get to those chapters where they talk about begot, begot, begot. And you start thinking about the laundry you have to do at noon. You start thinking about, okay, what am I making for dinner? By the time you get to the end of the begots, you can't remember who begot who. You know what I'm talking about? And I started reading. I get to the end of chapter 4. I'm like, okay, good. I can check that off for the day. I'm going to Genesis chapter 5. I've read the Bible before. I have to, you know, I just know what I'm doing. Reading the Bible through in the year, you have your plan, your check marks. And God said, go back and read Genesis chapter 4. Oh, my word. It just took me an hour to get through that, God. So I have to go back to Genesis chapter 4, reread it. And God said, I want you to take notes. Truly get into this, Caleb. And so I start reading Genesis chapter 4. I have my Bible out, and I start reading. And in the spirit, before I even studied that this morning, I was talking to Andrew. I said, I just really feel in the spirit about growth, healthy growth, good ground, that parable that Jesus talks about in Matthew. And he said, well, if you are feeling that, then that's what, just keep praying about it. God will confirm it. And God hadn't confirmed it yet. And this was like, I'm starting to get stressed. I'm not a procrastinator. So I like to have something 2 weeks in advance. And so when it's the week and God hasn't given me that confirmation, I'm kind of getting overwhelmed. And I sit down and I start writing in the Bible. And I say, okay, Adam or Abel, livestock, Cain, ground. And I was like, the moment I wrote the word ground, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, this is why I needed you to reread it. I'm confirming what you felt in the spirit for Church of Pentecost Sunday morning. And so as I wrote that down, I just said, okay, God, well, you're going to have to bring this together. And it was just like everything just started coming together about these scriptures. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. You see, when we come to church every week, it is not the will of God for us to come hear the word of God through the man of God behind the pulpit and not recall it later on that week or weeks later. It's not the will of God. It is not the will of God for you to come to church and forget what was spoken by the man of God through the word of God. Does that make sense? And sometimes, so many times we hear the word of God, we're here, we're sitting, and then we go throughout our week and we can't even remember what Pastor Roberts preached the week before. What was that? What was the sermon? What was the title that Pastor preached? The fowls of the air came to, as a sower, went to sow seed in the ground. The fowls of the air came and they ate the seed away. And that is more spiritual than what you realize. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, now I want to look deeper into this. Matthew 13, 1 through 9, or 18 through 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. So basically he says in Matthew 1 through 9, right? There was some seed that fell upon the wayside, meaning it didn't, when you plant a seed, it has to go deep within the ground. Everybody knows that? Everybody's planted like something in their life, maybe at second grade, it doesn't matter. You know, the seed has to go down. The soil has to fill it completely. You have to water. There is care that takes place in growing a plant. Okay? And so when we are planting the word of God within our heart, we can't just come Sunday, kind of casually listen, walk away, and expect that to grow and produce fruit in our life. And what happens is so many times we come to church and we're listening to the word of God. We're saying amen to the preacher. We're running around the church. I mean, and we can't remember a week later what was spoken. That is not the will of God. And it's very important for us to every week come into the word. And my husband says this so perfectly. He says, you have to work the word and you have to listen to the word and then work it that week. All right. And I'm going to give some logistical plans later on, but a farmer went out to sow his seed, scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. The fowls of the air came and devoured it is what KJV says. Some fell upon stony ground where it did not have a lot of soil. It sprang up so quickly, it grew too fast. And because the soil was shallow, it didn't take root. The sun came and the plant was scorched and withered away. Then the third one, seed fell among thorns, which grew up and then choked the plant. The fourth one. Other seed fell on good ground where it produced a crop, some hundredfold, 30-fold, 60-fold. And this is what Jesus says, because there's a little passage in between where the disciples are like, why do you speak in parables? And he's saying, because I want the people that truly want to get it to get it. And they'll ask questions. And the disciples did. They asked questions. Jesus says, listen, this is Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Jesus says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that fell on the wayside and the devourer came and choked up. So if you're coming on a Sunday morning and you don't understand what is truly being spoken, You don't just walk away and say, I don't really understand that sermon today. Then the fowl of the air is going to come and devour the word of God that was tried to be planted in your life. There are many leaders in this church that I can guarantee would give a Bible study if you said, hey, Pastor, Sister Roberts, Nick, Chrissy, Nate, Courtney, I'm confused on this, what Pastor spoke. Can you teach me further? Can you help me further? And some of us, if we're wanting to go to the next level and grow deeper in God and watch an anointing come upon our life, we have got to get in the Word of God, and we have to understand it. To listen to it is one thing, but to understand it is another. Because when you understand it, you'll produce fruit. The second one, Jesus said, the seed falling upon stony ground refers to someone who hears the word and they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. How many of you have seen many people come in church? They're on fire for God. 2 months later, you don't see them anymore, right? Or 2 months later, they're so down. They can't, because they didn't have root. They didn't work the word. They didn't go home and say, okay, what did Pastor preach this week? I have to let this get in my spirit. They didn't receive that word and root it within their heart. So then the stones, when the sun comes out and when the trials of life truly hit, they're going to wither away. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, a love for the world, chokes out the word, and it becomes then unfruitful. So some of you might come, you hear the words, you love it, but then you go out in the world and you're so convinced that the world has it so much better. Out here is just so much better. Pastor Roberts, that was a great word, but I just don't know how much I believe it. I just don't know how much I want it to be a part of my life. You see, I want to go out in the world. The world has so much more to offer. It's more fun. There's so much more that I could do. And what happens is then it chokes out that word that you just received on a Sunday morning when you're on a Friday night around people that are convincing you that the word of the Lord has none effect and no importance. Okay, and so I'm thinking about this. I'm saying, okay, God, why did you take me to Matthew, the parable of the sower, when we're talking about Cain? Well, Genesis chapter 4 says Cain was a tiller of the ground. Jesus, in the parable of Matthew chapter 13, he's talking about a tiller of the ground and ways that you can till the ground and the soil within your heart so that the word can fall upon. What do we want it to fall upon? Good ground. We want it to fall upon good ground so that it takes root. He said, but the seed, this is what Jesus says, that falls upon good ground refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. I just love that. They said, you know what? This world has nothing to offer me. I don't care if I don't understand it. I'm going to ask somebody to explain it to me. I'm going to work the word because I refuse to not see fruit in my life. Okay? And then the Lord took me. So the powerful part of that parable is it says some fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And so I start praying for this church. I said, God, I come against every devourer in the name of Jesus that would try to take what they have been learning, God, in their hearts. I come against every devourer in their finances. I come against every devourer in the marriage. I come against every devourer in the youth group that would try to take youth away from you. I started declaring that. And the Lord spoke to me very clear about this church. He said, if they till the soil, I will rebuke the devourer. That's a word from the Lord for this church. If they till the soil, I will rebuke the devourer. Because I'm saying, God, how do we rebuke these devourers? I want to teach them, God, and show them how they can rebuke the devourer. He said, no, I rebuke the devourer. They have to till the soil. They have to make sure the soil is right. They have to be grounded, rooted in love, and I will rebuke every devourer that comes their way. And that's a word of the Lord for Church of Pentecost. God is ready to rebuke the devourer, whether it's in your finances, in your marriage, in your life, whatever it may be, but we have to do our part and till the soil. We have to till the soil. Verse 15 of Matthew chapter 13 says, God, let's go to that scripture just really quick. Matthew 13, verse 15 specifically. I want to show this to you guys. I don't know if I sent that, did I? That's okay. I'll just read it. I might have forgot to send that one. If everybody has their Bible, could you go to Matthew 13, 15 really quick? Because this scripture, God spoke so clearly through. And I want to read this really quick to you. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, then they would understand and turn with their hearts so that I should heal them. I truly believe that God is wanting to heal somebody this morning. Because a lot of times what happens when we start coming to church, there are things on the inward parts of us. David says, search the inward parts of me, God, because the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You do not know what's in your heart. And so there are things from our past, from our childhood, brokenness, trauma, that we allow to be in here. And it causes us to not be able to root deep within the Word of God. And it causes no growth. And it causes stunts. There are stunts to growth. Weeds grow. Thorns grow. But that's not the growth we desire. And that's not the growth that's going to lead to revival and souls being saved in Cleveland, Ohio. Right? It is, the goal is to get behind the man and woman of God, the vision, and win souls. Right? Sometimes it's, we come to church and we make it about us. I make it about Kayla. And I'm thinking, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how my mom was growing up. You don't know the things I've seen. You may see someone that comes to church, sings, and gets in the Word, but you don't know what I've been through. And God said, Kayla, it's not about you. There's people out there in the world that are on their way to hell. And we have the truth. We have the Word of the Lord. We have salvation for them. And God's wanting to heal us, the inward parts of us, so that we can root deep within the Word. We can produce fruit so that everywhere we go, the grocery store, people are tasting the fruit. When we go to the doctor's office, people are tasting the fruit. When we're in our school halls, they're tasting the fruit. When we go to work, people are tasting the fruit. The purpose of everything we do in life is so that people can taste the fruit of God in our lives that is grounded deep within our hearts so that they can say, what do you have? I want it. I don't know what you have, but I need that. My life is broken down and abused. I need Jesus. And we have what they need. But it's time for us to allow God to heal the inward parts of us. Stunts of growth. Things that are stunting our growth, and allow him to heal us internally. And I truly believe God says, I'm wanting to heal somebody there, Kayla. I'm wanting to heal people that have allowed the wounds of their past to overcome the inward parts of them, has robbed them from their joy, their peace, their love. And I just want to say, it's time to till the soil of our hearts. It's time to till the ground and allow God to rebuke the devourer, rebuke the shallow ground. God said, if they till the soil, I will rebuke the devourer. And so as I was studying, I said, you know what? I want to go study that word, rebuke the devourer. Rebuke the devourer. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3. Let's go to verse 6. I'm just going to do the whole thing there. I had no idea that this scripture about rebuking the devourer had anything to do with fruit. Listen to this. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Do not rob God. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, and what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. See, that scripture right there says, and I will rebuke the devourer. So I love grammar. And when you look at that, the word and, that's a conjunction of a continuation of a previous scripture. So when you read a scripture like that, we'll just look at that and say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and we rejoice. But that and lets me know that there's something preceding that. Like I have to do something in order for that to take place. So then when you go back to the previous scriptures, Jesus is saying, you have robbed me. You're not giving everything to me. You're not giving the first fruits. And he said, but if you do, I'm going to pour out a blessing and I will rebuke the devourer. And then I started saying, God, what does this have anything to do with Genesis chapter 4? Remember, I'm reading the Bible through the year. I'm in Genesis chapter 4. What does this have anything to do with this? Let's read Genesis chapter 4. And Abel, in the first course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from the first of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast, and God said, why are you angry? If you do right, won't you be accepted? And so then I'm like, oh my word, is this what pastors get when they're studying the Word of God? This is incredible. And I start thinking, Cain was a tiller of the soil. He brought a sacrifice to God. It wasn't the offering, that it was the heart. It was behind Cain. Why, Cain, why didn't you give him all? Why did you give him some? Why did you only give him some, Cain? Why didn't you give him all of you? And it shows that there were some things in the heart of Cain, because we know after that he kills his brother. Only someone with some deep-hearted issues that were not taken care of could kill someone so close to them, hurt them, abuse them, talk about them, gossip about them. Only someone with some hearted issues that they haven't dealt with could do that. All right, now a lot of people will take that scripture and talk about tithes. Now, if you're not paying your tithes, that's a very good place to start. But I think God is really saying here, I want all. I don't want a little bit. I don't want a little portion. I don't want a little portion of your past. I want all of it. I want all of it because I want to grow you. I want to allow, let me heal this trauma. That's what he says in verse 15 of Matthew 13. He says, if they hear, they'll understand and turn so that I can heal them. And they'll produce so much fruit. And that's what we're looking for. That's what God is wanting. He's wanting that. I do not believe God is necessarily speaking about tithes today. Now, if that's you and you aren't, I would consider doing a Bible study on that, because that's very powerful. And we know in Malachi chapter 3 that I already read, if you're not paying your tithes, he will not rebuke the devourer. Okay? So that is something that's a little side. That's free, okay? I hear preachers say that all the time. That's free. You don't have to pay for that, okay? But I think it also applies to, if I'm not giving him all of me, he's not going to rebuke the devourer either. So I can pay my tithes, come to church with my trauma and the abuse that I went through growing up, and I'm not going to give him all of it, but I'm going to say, rebuke the devourer, Lord. He's saying, absolutely not. I want all of you, and then I'll rebuke the devourer. I want every part of you. I want your brokenness, and I'll rebuke the devourer. Give me your brokenness. Give me your unforgiveness. Give me your bitterness, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer. But don't give me a little bit of your brokenness. Don't give me just a little bit of your abuse. I want all of it. I want you to trust me. Whatever was in Cain until soil, that's what caused God to not receive his sacrifice. You're saying, God, I'm coming every Sunday. I'm giving you sacrifice. And I remember of the prophet of old, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. So you could come every Sunday and I could sing on the praise team. I could lead worship. If I'm not giving him my all, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want it at all. He says, I want obedience. I don't want just sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We must get beyond ourselves, guys. There is a greater mission that we must complete for Cleveland, Ohio. We have to deal with the inner parts that could possibly be stunting healthy growth in our lives. It's time to give him first. Allow him to rebuke the devourer. Allow God to heal you. It's time for healthy growth for a greater revival in this city. There are people out there that need you to allow God to heal you. They need you to allow God to restore the brokenness in your life. Because if you're broken, you can't help broken people. If you're broken, you cannot help broken people. So if you're trying to win somebody in your school that's broken, but you're not allowing God to heal you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We must get beyond ourselves. We have to allow God to root things out of us. I come from, I'm almost done here. I come from a background where both of my parents were in church. But when we went home, it was a completely different environment than what anybody could ever imagine. I remember as a 12-year-old girl, there was this little closet under the staircase. And I'd hear cussing, I'd hear screaming, I'd hear fighting, yelling, knives, all of it being thrown. And I would just go as a little girl under that stairwell. And I would hide in that closet and tears would begin to fall down my face. And the Lord, I remember one time he said so clearly to me as a 12-year-old, he said, I've been waiting for you, in a little whisper. And tears just began to fall down my face. And I knew in that moment, it does not matter what life my parents are living, I will choose a different path. I will allow God to bring fruit in my life, and I will not allow my past to stunt my growth. And in that moment, I made a declaration to God, not for me, not as for me and my house. We will truly serve the Lord. I'm not going to go to church and be one way and go in my home and be another. I'm going to be the same woman of God in my home that I am through those doors. I'm going to treat my children the same way in my home as I treat them here in front of the pastor. And I made that declaration for myself because I didn't have that growing up. I did not have that growing up. And there's things that as you go throughout your life, they will come to the surface again if you do not deal with them. And they will affect every area of your ministry, every area of anointing in your life, because it will taint the anointing. And when you sing, there will be something that people say, there's just something that's not right. There's just something that doesn't feel pure. And I believe that when Cain brought that offering, I was so confused when I would read this. God, he brought you an offering. And so did Abel. They both brought you an offering. Why didn't you accept Cain? I was so confused. And God truly showed me when I was studying this for this church, and he showed me it wasn't the sacrifice. It was the heart. There was something deep within Cain. They're brothers. They both probably, if Cain went through something to kill his brother, there was some trauma there. There were some things there that just weren't right. And I can almost guarantee, because they were brothers, that Abel went through it too. Because there was nothing in my past that I went through, abuse, verbal, physical, that my sisters didn't go through. But what was the difference about Abel and Cain? How could out of one household, one be accepted of God and the other not? Abel dealt with those things, I truly believe. Because Adam and Eve, they were the first. They're learning. Who knows what kind of parents they were. It was clear that there were some things going on if Cain was able to kill his own brother. And so I thought to myself, Abel dealt with those things. Abel truly gave a sacrifice to God that was of all that he had. And Cain was just sacrificing barely enough to get by. I'm going to give you just a little bit, God. And then he became jealous of his brother because God poured out more favor upon Abel. And God is no respecter of persons. The New Testament will tell you that. But he is a respecter of principle. And he is a respecter of someone that's going to give him all to God, themselves. And so even as a married woman, I will still have these things come up in my life. And I always have to bring it to the Lord and say, I'm noticing some more things, God. My trauma, it's coming up. I need you to deal with it. And I want to give, just really quick before we end, some practicalities, logistical ways of how we can till our soil. Number one, get in the Word. Get in the Bible. If you don't understand it, you need to find somebody that can teach it to you. It is not an excuse. It is not an excuse to say, Pastor Roberts didn't explain that well on Sunday. I'm confused. That is not an excuse. All right, you have to make time for the Word, and you have to make sure that you understand the Word, because the devourer will come if you don't have the Word to back it up. I remember I was 14 years old, and I said, you know what? I started dealing with some very terrible things in my life, terrible thoughts. My parents left the house. I was home alone. I was 14. I locked the doors, all the doors in my house, and I grabbed my Bible, and I started swinging it, and I started dancing and jumping. No music. I felt so awkward, and I locked the doors because I didn't want anybody to come in and see me. And I remember in that moment, I said, no, I'm going to fight for my future. I'm going to fight for my children and my marriage. I was 14 years old. And I started taking the Word of God and swinging it and dancing. And I said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And any tongue risen up against me in judgment, you shall condemn it. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I started taking the Word of God, because the Word of God in Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I started taking the Word of God, and I started discerning some things. Okay, there's some things in Kayla that aren't right. Unfortunately, it's not my fault, but it now is my problem. And I have to make it right. And I have to make sure for my future generations to come after me that my daughter never sees the woman I saw every day growing up. Okay, and that is something that I am so determined that I will not allow things to allow things from my past to ruin growth in my life. I refuse. I will get in the Word. I will study the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I'm going to get in the Word, and don't tell me what the Word says. I'll tell you what the Word says, because I'm getting in the Word. You don't have to tell me what my Bible says. And those end times when they try to tell me who Jesus is, no. You could take my Bible away. It's all here, because I have sown in my heart the Word of the Lord. And that is one of the first things. If you're saying, how can I uproot? How can I get rid of these things? It's the Word of God. How can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy Word. And one more thing I want to say, and this actually just happened this week in my life personally. In my marriage, there were some things that were being brought up from my past. This was after I had Azalea. Okay, so you'll go through moments in your life where you'll experience hard moments that will try to bring back trauma in your life that you feel like you've healed from. And there were moments in my life where I felt I was truly healed from all the trauma. Then I had a daughter. I went through some things that brought that trauma back. And when I had Azalea, it didn't start happening until she was about maybe 7-8 months old. She's a little over a year. So this was recent. This is something that I can truly tell you is recent in my life that I've had to deal with. Because you'll go throughout your entire life things will come to the surface, and you're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to deal with them. It's a constant thing, and it stinks. I wish I didn't have the childhood that I did. I wish I did not have to go through what I went through as a little girl, but I did. That was the story God gave me. And so I'm going to have to continually, throughout my life, deal with the heart issues from the trauma and the brokenness as a child. And this was a few months ago. I started dealing with these thoughts in my mind about my marriage. I was fighting so many things. I was fighting my husband. I just didn't trust. I had so much mistrust in my heart. I didn't trust anybody. This was just a few months ago. And I started to pray. I said, you know what? I just need to go pray. I need to talk to God. But I kept hitting a wall every time I was praying. Anytime I led worship, I could tell it's not flowing. There's something here that's like blocking it. I could tell. Yet I kept coming to church. I kept leading worship. I kept signing out chord charts, kept sending out vocal parts to the praise team. But there was something here that was blocking the flow of the anointing and the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm telling you, I could feel it. This was like 3 months ago. Okay? There was something there. Mistrust, insecurity, brokenness, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness. It was here. It was here. And I kept praying and I kept distracting myself with ministry. I kept ministering with my husband, going throughout my life, serving in Sunday school, serving whatever you do, whatever ministry you're doing. I just kept doing that. So, and I kept getting away from the root of the issue, that there was trauma that was coming up that I wasn't dealing with. And so, you know what I did? I said, all right, prayer. I'm hitting a wall. The word, I don't even want to get in the word. And I love the word, but there was something in me that was blocking me from getting into the word, blocking me from prayer. Every time I pray, I would pray every day, but I wasn't feeling the Lord. There was something there. And so you know what I did? I said, Andrew, we need to meet with Pastor Gropp and Sister Gropp, my pastor and my pastor's wife. And we met with them. And see, they are at a higher plane than us spiritually. They're our spiritual covering. And so I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand, but I could tell I was hurting my marriage. I could tell I was causing frustration between my husband and myself. And I don't want that for my daughter. That's exactly what I don't want to happen. That's exactly what I refuse. And so you know what I had to do? I had to humble myself and seek for help. And I went to the man and the woman of God. And I said, there's something in me that's hurting my family if I don't get it taken care of. And Sister Gropp looked at me. She said, I'll tell you what you're going through. And as she just spoke, tears began to stream in the room. Pastor was crying. Andrew was crying. I was crying. And there was so much healing that took place in just a moment of time with the man and woman of God. And I could tell a difference that night. It was like instant. The moment I walked out of that room, I could tell I dealt with that. I could tell. I got in prayer. There was no blockage. I just felt the presence of the Lord. I got in the word. It was flowing. I could tell. There was no more blockage. It was gone. I dealt with it. I dealt with it. And sometimes the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so sometimes we don't want to talk about what we've been through. We don't want to share what we're dealing with because I'm a preacher's wife. I'm evangelizing every weekend with my husband. I can't be going through this. I can't be dealing with these things. I'm just going to keep doing ministry and ignore it. And you could hurt the people around you. I said, you know what? I don't want to be leading worship. And we were going to a church. And I said, I will not go to that church and do anything until I deal with this. Because I knew that I was going to be, you know, if leading worship. And I said, I will not lead worship with this in my heart. Because I don't want to taint somebody in the church because I didn't deal with things in my life. You see, what we go through, the fruit that we don't produce, it affects those around us. I'm ready to come to the Lord, fully surrendered, giving him every part of me. I'm not scared to tell him. I trust him with all of my heart. I trust the man and woman of God in my life. And God is going to heal somebody this morning from brokenness, from pain, from guilt. Come on, that's not of God. Those feelings aren't of God. Would you stand to your feet and lift your hands? Feelings of brokenness. this bitterness, unforgiveness, that's not of God. Lord, we receive you this morning. I come to you fully surrendered. God, I'm tilling the soil in my life. I want fruitful growth in the name of Jesus. I want you, Lord God, to plant within me, and I want fruit to take place so that every person I come across in contact with, God, they'll taste the fruit of the Spirit, and they'll know that what I have is real, what I have is true, what I have is pure, and it's you, Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. I pray over every person here this morning, every person that might be going through bitterness or brokenness, God, memories of trauma, memories of their past, Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to humble themselves and give it to you, Lord. We trust you. There's nobody like you, Jesus. You are gracious. You're slow to anger. You delight in mercy. You're patient with us. And you want to see us whole. You want to see us restored so that we can receive your word with gladness and produce fruit. We want growth, God, but not just any growth. We want healthy growth. We want healthy growth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We want fruitful growth in the name of Jesus. In our marriages, fruitful growth. I declare fruitful growth in every marriage, fruitful growth in every student, every child here, Lord God, fruitful growth in the ministries here, Lord. We declare fruitful growth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.